Good morning. Let's turn to the Bible, Proverbs 5. Before we go into the Word of God, let's bow our head and pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to say good morning to you and ask that you speak to us this morning through your Holy Spirit. Work your may your Word come alive in us, God, and may we tap into the wisdom that you have given us, you know, many, many years ago, and make it alive in us, God. May your Word just like a fresh water refreshing us. And just carry us on for the rest of the day and let it continue to grow in us, God. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 5. So we're going to go through the whole chapter this morning. So I'm going to read through the whole thing. Chapter 5. My son, give attention to my wisdom. Incline your ears to my understanding, that you may observe discretions, and your lips may reserve knowledge. For the lips of a adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as two-edged saw. Her feet go down to death. Her step take hold of Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her way was unstable. She does not know it. Verse 7, now then, my sons, listen to me, and do not depart from the word of my mouth. Keep your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, or you will give your vigor to others, and your ears to the cruel one. And stranger will be filled with your strength, and your hard-earned goods will go to the house of an alien, and you groan at the end of the final end, when your flesh and your body are consumed. Verse 12, and you say, how I have hated instructions, and my heart spurred reproof. I have not listened to the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to instructions. I was almost in utter ruin in the midst of assembly and congregations. Drink water from your own citra, and fresh water from your own well. Should your spring be dispersed abroad, springs of water in the street, let them be yours alone and not for a stranger with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. As a loving hint and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times. Be exhilarated always with her love. For why should you, my son, be exhilarated with the adulteress and embrace the blossom of a foreigner? For the ways of a man are before eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths. His own iniquity will capture the wicked, and he will be held with the cord of his sin. He will die for lack of instructions, and in the greatest of his folly, he will go astray. So immediately, you know, a quick over-skim through of the passage, it is a serious warning against guy, obviously. Especially, seems like, you know, first glance of it is for the married man, but actually it is not. It refers to sex outside marriage or outside the marriage bed. And I'm going to go through the whole thing with you. And I think, you know, this passage, not just speaking to guys, actually have implications also, you know, to women and also Christians. Because, you know, at the end of the day, we church is called the bride to, you know, the bride to Christ. And also, you know, throughout Old Testament, always refers to his, God refers his people when they worship idols, then they are in adultery. So here, I think the implication, you know, the applications can be more than just marry, just men alone. And so let's go through this passage, together. And, you know, the standard as we're going through the book of Proverbs, always, you know, in the beginning, it's like a father giving instructions to the son. And we've been going through, you know, Proverbs 1 to 4 before, and come to 5, slightly different from previous, you know, beginning of the instructions. Here it says that, my son, give attention to my wisdom. Incline your ears to my understanding. Obviously, you know, when we look at the word my, it is again, it's not just referring to, you know, man's wisdom. It is referring to the wisdom from God. If we go through, you know, the Proverbs 4, it talk about, you know, wisdom come down from the generation to the grandfather and ancestor, and ultimately trace it back is the divine wisdom. So here's, we just have to draw the line that it is not just referring to experience of a father that when he experienced life, that play a role in it. But definitely, this is also wisdom from the above, from God. And here, before, you know, in Pirus, you know, chapter 4:1-4, you talk about, you know, listen to the wisdom and understanding. And come to verse 2, very different from the previous one. Pirus and Oak, you listen to my wisdom, you gain understanding. And here, come to chapter 5, it actually requires actions. If we look at verse 2, it's like, that you may observe discretions. Your lips may reserve knowledge. It talk about discretion is, you know, exercising based on, you know, what you gain from wisdom, a head knowledge that you need to make a decision. And it's not just making a decision, but observing it. Observing is not just look at what's going on in the world, but observing means living out. So you make the discretion based on the knowledge or understanding the wisdom, and you make that decision. So it seems that we a hint, you know, coming into a passage that you will come to a point that you need to make a discretion or a decision. And here it say that, you know, based on the wisdom and understanding from above, that you observe that, you know, hold on to that discretion that you made. And the second part is like talk about the lips. We spoke about last week about the power of a lip is very, you know, powerful, how it impact life. And here is say that, you know, you need to guard your, the word reserve mean guarding, like guard the wisdom so that you receive the wisdom from the Lord and come out from it, guard what you're saying and reserve, make sure that whatever come out from your mouth that is of God, or, you know, it's not any less. So, so that's, give us a, you know, hint, you know, what's going on in the coming passage. And immediately, drawing a link to the lips, the author here, the father here, is giving instruction, be aware of the temptations of a loose woman. The NASB translation is adulteress. It's like a woman, you know, who is married to a husband. But if you look at, you know, other translation, you realize some actually translated it as strange woman, like loose woman or like some foreign, you know, strange woman. And I believe that, you know, NASB, when they do the translation, they read in the context of this book. It's obviously not just any woman, but a woman that, you know, caused someone to stumble, whether it be a married man or a single man that tempt them into having, you know, sex outside the marriage bed. And so, And verse 3 and 4 is described, you know, very explicitly, you know, the lips of the woman, like the adulteress, drip honey and smoother than oil. Excuse me. So it's talking about that it is a hint of that is a pleasure to sin. You know, sin, if it's terrible, no one's going to sin. But obviously there is a pleasure to it. That is sweet, that is nice to, you know, taste, and it's very smooth in her speech. So you can slip right into sin very effortlessly, it seems that way, describing in that way. But, you know, the ramification, the warning come is the verse 4 and 5. It talk about that, you know, in the end, she is bitter at wormwood. Wormwood is actually is a herb in the Palestine area. It tastes bitter. And so it's just describing that at the end is a two-edged sword, mean like double-edged sword. That means it can cut through. It's not a dull sword that, you know, doesn't cut through anything, but it's harmful, it's deadly. So her feet go down to the death, and her step take hold of shohel is like another understanding in the Hebrew context is almost equivalent to hell. And it's talk about that, you know, so it's a hint that, you know, if you go down to the wrong path, be tempted by a loose woman, so, you know, if you live in immorality, that will lead to serious grievous consequences, which be death. And verse 15 to 7 to 15 even elaborate more, and it's set out in a more instruction way. So if we're going to look at the next section, the whole set, verse 7 to all the way to verse 20 is an instruction from the Father. So basically, verse 3 and 6 is set out the scenario where, you know, you need to exercise your discretions. It's about, you know, that is temptation of a loose woman tempt you out of marriage bed. And here, I want to say that, you know, it's not just for married men. It's just like, you know, even for single men before they get married, and so it's not just for married men. In fact, you know, they do marry young in those days. I was doing some research. It was saying that, you know, the marriageable age at the time in the Near East region is the woman is get married about 12, and the guy marry about, you know, I think 15 or 16, and so they marry really young. And so this instruction is like anyone that, you know, enter into, you know, prone to the age, when come to the age that, you know, will fall for these sort of temptations. And so let's continue. And here from verse 7 to 15, maybe I'll read it out again so it just refresh us, you know, our memory on the verses. It says, "Now then, my son, listen to me. Do not depart from the word of my mouth. Keep your way far from her." It's talk about, you know, the temper that is in the previous sessions. "And do not go near the door of her house. Don't even go close to it, or you will give your vigor to others and your ears to the cruel one. And stranger will be filled with your strength, and your hard-earned goods will go to the house of an alien, and you groan at the end, the final end, when your flesh and your body are consumed." It talk about that if a married man fail to listen to this instruction, what are the consequences? You lose your power, you lose your wealth, you lose your heart, fruit of the hard-earned labor, and you, all this will go to someone else. And at the end, you know, your body and your life is wasted, you know, on the wrong thing. And so this is a very grievous, you know, warning that don't do it. Obviously, you know, when you, you know, putting into a situational, you know, if we put in, you know, that consideration that, you know, you're having an affair with a married woman, like from the very beginning, if we, based on the NASB NASB translations, that obviously, you know, that and your ears to the cruel one, it seems that, you know, if you into an illicit relationship with a woman and you might get, you know, hurt by the husband, they bash you up, or they, you know, come to a bitter end, they, like, you know, in some of the news, you know, jealous husbands, you know, kill the wife and the man who have an affair. Like, this sort of thing happened. And sometimes, you know, scheming women, you know, scheme you out of, you know, have sex with you and you lost all your earning. This is not something new. Actually, it's age old. Like, you know, story that you can get from newspaper, that when you are in a, you know, incorrect relationship, that these are the possible consequences. And basically being consumed by, you know, unholy love that, you know, wasted in itself, you know, your year being wasted and your body being wasted. And so this is the warning that to the married man and the single, to the married man. And it hints that, you know, when you come to realize it's too late already. And I remember, like, long time ago, I think that's this movie called, is it? With Sharon Stone in it, that's having an affair with... Basic Instinct, yeah. Basic Instinct, I forgot. I just remember, this movie. I think that movie, it was like, obviously, Sharon Stone was like, a lot of like things like going, like with her cross leg and everything, like showing or whatever, like, put it aside. But I think the scary thing, I think for men after watching that movie, I heard, like, you know, they have a second thought about, you know, having an affair, because it can go so bad in such a way that you met up with a crazy woman, you end up your life being wrecked in your perfect marriage, like go down to the drain, and so it kind of like matches, you know, with these pictures of like how bad it could go in if you have a, you know, affair. And that's not just it, you know, not just like about, you know, your life being harmed and your possession and everything you lost and all this stuff. But one thing that, you know, when you enter into an affair that is not holy to God, and that you actually turn back from the instructions. You know, in the beginning, you know, pay attention to my instructions. It say that, listen, like your ears listen to my instruction. And as we continue to sin, to sin that our relationship with God is being, disconnect, and we no longer be able to hear so clear from God, and become such as when you are so far away from God that you come to a point that how I hate the instruction and my heart spur reproof. I have not listened to the voice of my teachers and inclined my ears to my instructions. So basically what it's saying that when you are living in sin, not just your relationship and harmful to your body, but also is about your relationship with God, also broken as well. To a point that you start denying God, you stop going to God, naturally, I guess, when we commit a sin, immediate reaction is shamefulness. That's what happened in the in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve has sinned, immediate reaction is shameful. They want to hide from God. They do not want to face the music. And here, it come to a point that if you're so far into sin that you start hating instruction, you start not listening to it. And at the end, you will come to the very end, is that I almost in utter ruin in the midst of assembly and congregation. It's not just that ruin it personally, but it's also a public shame that come upon you, and also your disconnection with God. You no longer be able to hear instruction. So many having that, living in sin in that way, that not just separate you from your wife, like if you're a married man here, but also separate from God and from wisdom. And verse 15 and 19 is more positive instead of drawing two different pictures. Here's two ladies are being portrayed in Proverbs 5. On one hand is this strength woman, loose woman, tempt you, but it's harmful, leading to deadly consequences. And then 15 to 19, it bring out the wife of your youth. So when you in the old days, as I mentioned, they get married really young. And so it's to say that, your wife can satisfy you. So we quickly jump to verse 19. It say that let her breast satisfy you all time and be exhilarated always with her love. And wife is here being described as a loving hint, like a loving deer and a graceful doe. So it's a sharp contrast, right? This, the woman, the strength woman is bitter, two-edged sword that cut you to pieces. But whereas, the wife being described as a loving hint and a graceful doe. So two contrasts. And on verse 15 to 18, obviously if you look through it, it's a lot of imagery about water. Let me read it out quickly. Drink water from your own cistern and fresh water from your own well. Should your spring be dispersed abroad, stream of water in the street, let them be yours alone and not for a stranger. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. I think, looking at a different commentary, I think on one side it's talking about man, don't sleep around, you have your own, citron, it's a respiratory for rainwater. So it's still fresh water, it's not living water, like from the stream, but it's still captured from the rain, it's water, fresh water. And this picture of, freshness of the well, from the well and from the ground, this fresh water, if we look back at the book of Song of Songs, is actually referred to a symbol for a woman who provides sexual delight and satisfactions to the partners. So here is talking about men, drink from your own well. If you are married men, you have your own wife and enjoy what you have. Stay with you. It's not that you don't have, you have. Don't look outside, but look at your own well, look at your own wife, and be satisfied with your own wife. And in marriage, it here referred that, you can be satisfied. And so here is talking about, is the well and the water is the wife, don't go outside. And the implications on the next verses is that should your spring be dispersed abroad or or stream of water in the street, let them be yours alone and not for stranger with man, with you. It seems that it suggests that, you know, if we take it the meaning of the well as the wife, then it's like also maintain your relationship, satisfy your wife too, so that she don't go outside to look for someone else. It's talking about both way, you know, how you take care of your wife as well, that you satisfy your wife. And so here, you know, that's not just you sleeping around, but also you satisfy your wife. And so it's talk about, you know, it's like a two-way street. And obviously, I'm not married, so I do hear story about, you know, broken marriage, even in Christian, like many Christians, like they go through in the marriage. And I heard, you know, some people's statistic, I don't know, never verify it, but, you know, the first 3 years is very difficult. And a lot of divorces happen in the first 3 years. And it's not that easy, you know, with two individuals, very, especially, you know, in Hong Kong, people very independent, they make their own acclaim, and two individuals coming together, and iron sharpening iron, and those are the clashes time. And we do hear, you know, people got married 1 year or 2 years, they got divorced because they just can't stand on each other's. And it's so sad to hear about it. And so what did, you know, what to do? Like, you know, here the passage is like, oh, it's so beautiful. They can satisfy you and all this. It's painting such a good picture. But when you're living kind of in the hell, so to speak, like, you know, crashing with one another, what to do? And I think the message here is like stick to it, but work in it. And there are like cases, you know, testimony, even from from people who I heard a testimony a long time ago, a woman whose husband had an affair with someone else, and she started praying whether to divorce, you know, have go ahead with the divorce and all this. She ended up, you know, holding on to it, like praying through, and eventually the husband came back. Eventually the husband became a Christian, like they weren't a Christian before, and the lady became a Christian first, and then. At the baptisms, the man was on the stage sharing about, you know, the relationship and how he come back to God and how God can change. And we know that, you know, also an element of faith that know that God is the God of reconciliations, that all the brokenness can be made whole by God. The brokenness that's in message, you know, even for marriage life, that is learn the behavior, how to love your wife, how to understand different love languages. Like, there are material out there, there are things. And the most important part is that there is God in it that help to hold, like, you know, to amend the relationship. Because we talk about forgiveness, we talk about healing that can be complete in God, and sometimes, you know, you just have to hold on to it. That's the message that I got from marriage couple that been married long time ago. One of my seminary friend, he is amazing husband. He is, I think he's over, you know, 50 something now, and how he loved his wife. And we went to his house, and you're thinking, you know, marriage so long, everything died, the passion and all this. But the way that he loved his wife, we were having, he would save some ice cream for the wife who come back from work, and we were having dinner and all this stuff. And the way that they interact is like as if they are just, you know, newlywed almost, and they have two lovely child, and I have a chance to speak to my friend. It's like, oh, how it worked for you, you know. I see so many broken marriage outside, even in the Christian world. How does your work? And he told me it's a lot of tough work. Like, he have to come, when he's younger, he have to come to the decision that I'm going to stick with this marriage. I'm going to try my best to make it work. And of course, God come in and help him over, you know, through this. So he mentioned to me he did have really tough patches and all this, but he make a decision that I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to, you know, learn to love my wife better. And I see it is a really good model. And to me, it's like, yeah, that is good marriage. That is possible. But yes, it requires work. And often we hear this work, love is a choice. So a lot of time is more than just romantic love, but making a choice to love as well. And, you know, we have a woman's retreat back then, and a few months ago. And I went into the single conference, and I know some went to the marriage, you know, marriage women's you know, we separate way and have our own discussions. So I was like very curious, what do you talk about when you are in the marriage group? And a couple of things that is quite interesting is like, you know, before you get married, Satan tempts you to stay in the, to go, like, to have sex, you know, in the bed. But when you got married, the temptation for a woman is to stay out of bed. And it's like, you're tired, you don't want it, and like, that sort of thing. It's like, oh, really? That's quite interesting. That how, you know, Satan at different stage of your, you know, different stage of your life using different temptations. So it kind of matches, you know, with verse 15 and 19. Talk about satisfaction in marriage bed too. That, you know, you have to engage in it in such a way. And another good insight, you know, I heard from the marriage woman side is that they talk about the three core strength. You know, in a lot of time we use that, you know, during marriage. They talk about, you know, one core is easy broken and two is strong and three is like, you know, almost unbreakable. And it, one thing that, you know, one of the lady of serve is like for a three core strength to really work to a maximum is they all turning into one directions. And so if you and God, your husband and wife and God are in unison together and they're turning into the one directions, into the God directions, then this marriage is the strongest that is not easy to be bookend. It's talking about husband and wife going into one direction, but the same direction like God. And I think that is a powerful image, you know, when you talk about marriage, that not just sticking together, but it's turning into one direction together with God, and that make the marriage strong. And at the end, you know, the father is using two rhetorical questions. One rhetorical question is at verse 20 here. Why should you, my son, be exhilarated with an adulteress and embrace the bosom of a stranger? And it's kind of challenged that you know, is rhetorical, that you shouldn't. And they come to, you know, this very strong word, I would say, that, you know, warning is in verse 21 to 23. Again, you know, when we quickly jump to 23, it talk about he will die of destruction, that your folly will come to an end, to a deadly end. But I think one thing that is, you know, being highlighted is verse 21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his path. It means that, you know what? God is all-knowing. He is all everywhere. He knows where you are, whether you are living in sin or not, whether you have, you know, sin or in the action. He is with you. He's watching you. And there is no way of escaping. That don't think that you can, you know, hide somewhere. You know, no one, even men do not know it, but God knows it. And I think that is put in us a light, you know, whenever that what action we are taking, that even good one, bad one, or in the process of committing a sin, he know. And he know your struggle. He know what you go through. And, you know, the GI's famous GI's versus the longest one, people always, is the first Corinthians 10:13, right? It's like, no temptation has seized man. No temptation has seized you except what is coming to man. But God is faithful. But when you are tempted, he will not you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. It's not you can lay down under it or what. You can stand up firm, upright under it. So God will always provide a way out. And he is there watching you every single step. In a positive sense that God is there to give you a way out. God, there is a way out. There is, he is with you. That he is your strength. And verse 20-23 is basically justice will ultimately happen. So if you've seen that what you're facing is death, what you're facing that you will continue to be tied in closely with your sin and never, you know, be broken from it. And so, you know, as I mentioned this morning, that early on, that, you know, the audience obviously is to men, whether you're married or not. You talk about your marriage relationship. But also, you know, When I look at, you know, verse 2, it says, and your lips may reserve knowledge. So where does this whole thing come from? You know, verse 2 is, your lips may reserve knowledge. Where does the, you know, whole passage related to the lips? And the only place that I can really find is the beginning. For the lips of the strength woman drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech. I think this also warning against, you know, the temper. It's talking about the person who's leading other people to sin. The warning also, you know, if you look at verse 6, it says she does not ponder the path of life. Her ways is always unstable. She doesn't even know about how unstable it is. And I think this instruction here is not just giving to man, but also, you know, here in the put in the picture, is the woman who tempted a man having an affair that is outside marriage bed. Obviously, not just have to be women, you know, sometimes men tempting, you know, women outside the marriage bed as well. So it is definitely talking about, you know, be aware of what you're speaking. You know, last week we were talking about, you know, you cannot have salt water and fresh water coming from the same spring. At the same time, it's talking about that it's about our relationship, our heart with God. You know, what's coming out from our mouth? Are we having smooth talk too easily that tempt people, you know, or, you know, that's where one thing led to another, right? Affairs that happen, there's a lot of time happening in smooth talk, you know, and so here it say that, you know, what you speak is also very important, that you get the wisdom from God. Every one of us, you know, have the Holy Spirit in us. We have the reservoir, you know, of the wisdom that's coming from God and given discretions. Not just the things that we learn from, you know, the Bible and also the world about value, about morality, but also, you know, this is the wisdom from God. And may our lips reserve, you know, the knowledge that we gain from God and not have it loosely happen. And may, you know, that we observe that discretions that come out based on the wisdom and the understanding that we gain from God and from the godly men that have passed on that understanding and that wisdom. So this morning, Jackie is going to lead us into a song of worship. And I just pray that, you know, a lot of things to chew on maybe this morning, but just ask God, you know, always, you know, it's easiest if... towards the end, it's always like ask God to review one thing. It's easy. It doesn't have to be multiple things, but at least one thing that God really speak aloud to you this morning through this passage. And may, you know, ask Holy Spirit to really lead you to go deeper in terms of reflecting how this passage is going to, you know, how it help you to do that introspection in the Lord. So God, I just ask that you speak to my brother and sister now, that, you know, let them capture at least one thing they can carry away, you know, from this morning message. Father God, just blessed be your name, God. Continue to be with us, God. We know that you are all-knowing, you are everywhere, you are right here with us, God. Your eyes seeing what we do, and you are with us, God. And we just praise your name, even though in your time of suffering and time of unknown or challenges that we do not know quite where the thing ends, but we know that, God, you are with us, God. God, this morning I want to claim the promise that you have given in the book of Proverbs about marriage life, when the husband and wife are fulfilled in their marriage, God. And I claim this promise for, you know, the marriage one, and also for the single one, that when they do enter into the holy marriage that is pleasing to your eyes, God, that let this promise, let this, like, you know, picture that you paint in Proverbs come alive in their marriage life, God. Let them be fulfilled, you know, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And God, also, you know, taking it to the next step, that, you know, us as a Christian and our relationship with you, God, I pray that the same or even more satisfactions that in our relationship with you. Sometimes it's hard, it needs hard work, sometimes it's cultivation, but there is definite fruit in it. There is goodness and sweetness in it, God. Help us, God. Give us the discernment, God, knowing what is right and wrong in your eyes, not in man's eyes, but in your eyes, God. And help us to have that strength and that willpower to observe that discretion, God, that you give us. Help us to guard our lips. So come from forth from our lips is something that is holy and pleasing to you, and not of the world, God, not of the flesh, God. Help us, God. We do need your guidance every day, every moment, God. And may my mouth continue to sing praises to you, you know, never ceasing. Thanksgiving never ceasing coming from our mouth. Praises never cease coming from our mouth. Because you are the God who is faithful, because you deserve all the praises. So work your deeper work in us, God, please. Also, this morning, God, give us this power to intercede for the brothers and sisters in Christ, God. So let's turn to the community prayer. Let's continue to press in and pray for those who suffer from cancer. We're still praying for the transplant, like, you know, for the donor, to for the bone marrow match. Just really pray, continue to press in, to pray for recovery and finding the match. Let's pray. Continue pressing to pray for salvation and healing for the family members of our brothers and sisters and friends. Next slides for recovery from various illness. Finally, the brother and sister who is looking for work, let's also pray for them to Let's turn to today's mission focus. For Indonesia, also for Singapore, PSM is starting the EG course with the Singapore core team, and things are start moving that we might. So let's pray for the church plan in Singapore, for the premises, for, you know, brothers and sisters to rise up, and also pray for PSM during this season of time when he is traveling back and forth to Singapore to train up the leader. You've all probably heard about the news about, you know, that abuse of the Indonesian maid. There's not just this one case, many cases. And I was told by P. Salamat, you know, the person, the pastor that actually went with the maid to the courthouse. And really, let's pray also for the Indonesian churches, not just Indonesia, but also in Hong Kong. How they, because we have like over tens of thousands of Indonesians in Hong Kong. They're part of, you know, Hong Kong. And so let's pray for, you know, churches in Hong Kong, including Faber Ministry, that they really are able to reach out to the Indonesian helpers and, you know, raise up God's army in Hong Kong. Also not on this list, but it's on the newspaper 2 days ago about this young boy, 6 years old in China. His eyes got scooped out because the person wanted to steal the cornea from them. And so the whole eyeball got scooped out, and the kid is still, you know, in hospital and in critical conditions. Let's pray for the kids, not just healing, but also, you know, the trauma that the kids is going through. Let's also pray. It's just gruesome news, so let's pray for the kids and also pray against any of this sort of thing happening in China as well. It is so important that, you know, we educate or groom or grow our next generation. So let's pray for the education ministry, the Noah's Ark, the SPUs, and the college group. Pray that, you know, pray for the teachers be a models of Christ. So leading, you know, the young ones, you know, in a correct path, a path that is pleasing to God. Particularly for Noah's Ark, P. Carroll is still in hospital, and I heard Mary is taking up the leadership role, leading the Noah's Ark group. So let's also pray for Mary as well, as she's like stepping in for the Noah's Ark duties. Next up, let's pray for the families and marriage, you know, especially in light of the message that we share this morning. pray for loving, healing, unity, restoration, and protections of the marriages that is in Christ. You know, for better and worse, they are tied in together and they will work things through. And praise for the children to grow, you know, in this family to let's pray for the weekend activities, the Sunday service, the two service, the worship team, hospitality, Noah's Ark, SP Youth that happened at 10:30. This morning there's training for the translations. Our team is leading it, and also new translators. So pray for the meeting this morning. GIC classes, we have two GIC classes, one by Haish and one by Pastor Hansu. So pray for both of them for the classes. And all the other meeting that might be happening, you know, this weekend. Thank you, God, for being with us this morning. I ask that you continue to speak loudly and strongly to our brothers and sisters here, you know, throughout the day. Guide our every step, you know, that we take. And may your word, you know, be engraved in our heart. And may us have that attentive ears to listen to it. Not like it's being mentioned in the passage, that we turn away from your instruction, that we do not like your reproof, God. Make our hearts be soft and open for you, God. Thank you, God, and pray all this in Jesus' name. So continue to stay and soak in the presence of God, and have a good day.